Now we begin to look at options. The next two LOS are to explain how the value of a European option is determined at expiration and to explain the exercise value, time value, and moneyness of an option. Moneyness refers to whether an option is in the money or out of the money. If immediate exercise of the option would generate a positive payoff, it is in the money. If immediate exercise would result in a loss or negative payoff, it is out of the money. When the current asset price equals the exercise price, exercise will generate neither a gain nor loss, and the option is at the money. The following describes the conditions for a call option to be in, out of, or at the money. S is the price of the underlying asset, and X is the exercise price of the option. If S minus X is greater than zero, a call option is in the money. S minus X is the amount of the payoff a call holder would receive from immediate exercise, buying a share for X and selling it in the market for a greater price, S. If S minus X is less than zero, a call option is out of the money. If S equals X, a call option is said to be at the money. The following describes the conditions for a put option to be in, out of, or at the money. If X minus S is greater than zero, a put option is in the money. X minus S is the amount of the payoff from immediate exercise, buying a share for S, and exercising the put to receive X for the share. When the stock's price is greater than the strike price, so that X minus S is less than zero, a put option is out of the money. If S equals X, a put option is said to be at the money. We define the intrinsic value or exercise value of an option, the maximum of zero, and the amount that the option is in the money. That is, the intrinsic value is the amount an option is in the money, or zero, if the option is at or out of the money. The intrinsic value is also the exercise value, the value of the option if exercised immediately. Prior to expiration, an option has time value in addition to any intrinsic value. The time value of an option is the amount by which the option premium, or price, exceeds the intrinsic value, and is sometimes called the speculative value of the option. This relationship can be stated as option premium equals intrinsic value plus time value. At any point during the life of an option, its value will typically be greater than its intrinsic value. This is because there is some probability that the underlying asset price will change in an amount that gives the option a positive payoff at expiration greater than the current intrinsic value. Recall that an option's intrinsic value to a buyer is the amount of the payoff at expiration and is bounded by zero. When an option reaches expiration, there is no time remaining, and the time value is zero. This means the value at expiration is either zero if the option is at or out of the money, or its intrinsic value if it is in the money. Next, we are required to identify the factors that determine the value of an option and explain how each factor affects the value of an option. There are six factors that determine option prices. The first of these factors is the price of the underlying asset. For call options, the higher the price of the underlying, the greater its intrinsic value, and the higher the value of the option. Conversely, the lower the price of the underlying, the less its intrinsic value, and the lower the value of the call option. In general, call option values increase when the value of the underlying asset increases. For put options, this relationship is reversed. An increase in the price of the underlying reduces the value of a put option. The second factor is the exercise price. A higher exercise price decreases the values of call options, and a lower exercise price increases the values of call options. A higher exercise price increases the values of put options, and a lower exercise price decreases the values of put options. The third factor is the risk-free rate of interest. An increase in the risk-free rate will increase call option values, and a decrease in the risk-free rate will decrease call option values. An increase in the risk-free rate will decrease put option values, and a decrease in the risk-free rate will increase put option values. The fourth factor is the volatility of the underlying. Volatility is what makes options valuable. If there were no volatility in the price of the underlying asset, which is to say, if its price remained constant, options would always be equal to their intrinsic values, and time or speculative value would be zero. An increase in the volatility of the price of the underlying asset increases the values of both put and call options, and a decrease in volatility of the price of the underlying decreases both put values and call values. The fifth factor is time to expiration. Because volatility is expressed per unit of time, longer time to expiration effectively increases expected volatility and increases the value of a call option. Less time to expiration decreases the time value of a call option so that at expiration its value is simply its intrinsic value. For most put options, longer time to expiration will increase option values for the same reasons. For some European put options, however, extending the time to expiration can decrease the value of the put. In general, the deeper a put option is in the money, the higher the risk-free rate, and the longer the current time to expiration, the more likely that extending the option's time to expiration will decrease its value. To understand this possibility, consider a put option at $20 on a stock with a value that has decreased to $1. The intrinsic value of the put is $19, so the upside is very limited. The downside is significant if the price of the underlying subsequently increases, and because no payment will be received until the expiration date, the current option value reflects the present value of any expected payment. Extending the time to expiration would decrease that present value. While overall, we expect a longer time to expiration to increase the value of a European put option, in the case of a deep in-the-money put, a longer time to expiration would decrease its value. The sixth factor that determines option prices is costs and benefits of holding the asset. If there are benefits of holding the underlying asset, such as dividend or interest payments on securities or a convenience yield on commodities, call values are decreased and put values are increased. The reason for this is most easily understood by considering cash benefits. When a stock pays a dividend or a bond pays interest, this reduces the value of the asset. Decreases in the value of the underlying asset decrease call values and increase put values. Positive storage costs make it more costly to hold an asset. We can think of this as making a call option more valuable because call holders can have long exposure to the asset without paying the costs of actually owning the asset. Puts, on the other hand, are less valuable when storage costs are higher. The next LOS is to explain put-call parity for European options. Our derivation of put-call parity for European options is based on the payoffs of two portfolio combinations, a fiduciary call and a protective put. A fiduciary call is a combination of a call with exercise price X and a pure discount riskless bond that pays X at maturity, which is the expiration date of the option. The payoff for a fiduciary call at expiration is X when the call is out of the money, and X plus the quantity S minus X, which equals S, when the call is in the money. A protective put is a share of stock together with a put option on the stock. The expiration date payoff for a protective put, when the put is in the money, is the quantity X minus S plus S, which equals X, and S when the put is out of the money. If at expiration S is greater than or equal to X, the protective put pays S on the stock while the put expires worthless, so the payoff is S. The fiduciary call pays X on the bond portion while the call pays S minus X, so the payoff is S. If at expiration X is greater than S, the protective put pays S on the stock while the put pays X minus S, so the payoff is X. The fiduciary call pays X on the bond portion while the call expires worthless, so the payoff is X. In either case, the payoff on a protective put is the same as the payoff on a fiduciary call. Our no arbitrage condition holds that portfolios with identical payoffs regardless of future conditions must sell for the same price to prevent arbitrage. We can express the put-call parity relationship as call plus risk-free discount bond equals stock plus put. Equivalencies for each of the individual securities in the put-call parity relationship can be expressed as stock equals call minus put plus risk-free discount bond. Put equals call minus stock plus risk-free discount bond. Call equals stock plus put minus risk-free discount bond. Risk-free discount bond equals stock plus put minus call. Note that the options must be European style and the puts and calls must have the same exercise price and time to expiration for these relations to hold. The single securities on the left-hand side of the equations all have exactly the same payoffs as the portfolios on the right-hand side. The portfolios on the right-hand side are the synthetic equivalents of the securities on the left. For example, the payoff on a long stock can be synthetically created with a long call, a short put, and a long position in a risk-free discount bond. The other securities in the put-call parity relationship can be constructed in a similar manner. The next LOS is to explain put-call forward parity for European options. Put-call forward parity is derived with a forward contract rather than the underlying asset itself. At contract initiation, a forward contract has zero value. At expiration, when the forward contract settles, the long must purchase the asset for the forward price. The purchase at contract initiation of a pure discount bond that will pay the forward price at contract expiration will cost the present value of the forward price. By purchasing such a pure discount bond and simultaneously taking a long position in the forward contract, an investor has created a synthetic asset. At expiration, the proceeds of the bond are just sufficient to purchase the asset as required by the long forward position. Because there is no cost to enter into the forward contract, the total cost of the synthetic asset is the present value of the forward price. The put-call forward parity relationship is derived by substituting the synthetic asset for the underlying asset in the put-call parity relationship. At the time of forward contract initiation, present value of forward price plus put equals call plus risk-free discount bond, which is put-call forward parity based on the principle of no arbitrage. Now, we are required to explain how the value of an option is determined using a one-period binomial model. Recall from quantitative methods that a binomial model is based on the idea that over the next period, some value will change to one of two possible values. To construct a binomial model, we need to know the beginning asset value, the size of the two possible changes, and the probabilities of each of these changes occurring. Consider a share of stock is currently priced at $30. The size of the possible price changes and the probabilities of these changes occurring are as follows. The size of up move equals 1.333. Size of down move equals 1 divided by the size of the down move, which equals 0.75. Probability of an up move equals 0.55. Probability of a down move equals 1 minus the probability of an up move, or 0.45. For a one-period binomial tree, the two possible end-of-period stock values are $30 times 1.333, which equals $40, and $30 times 0.75, which equals $22.50. The probabilities of an up move and a down move are risk-neutral pseudo-probabilities that were calculated based on the size of the moves and the risk-free rate. The risk-neutral probability of an up move is 1 plus the risk-free rate plus the size of a down move, divided by the quantity size of up move minus size of down move. Then the risk-neutral probability of a down move is 1 minus the risk-neutral probability of an up move. Using this model, we can calculate the value of an option on the stock by calculating the payoff of the option at maturity in both the up move and down move states, calculating the expected value of the option in 1 year as the probability-weighted average of the payoffs in each state, and discounting this expected value back to today at the risk-free rate. In practice, we would construct a binomial model with many short periods and have many possible outcomes at expiration. However, the one-period model is sufficient to understand the concept and method. Note that the actual probabilities of an up move and a down move do not enter directly into our calculation of option value. The size of the up move and down move, along with the risk-free rate, determine the risk-neutral probabilities we use to calculate the expected payoff at option expiration. Remember, the risk-neutral probabilities come from constructing a hedge that creates a certain payoff. Because their calculation is based on an arbitrage relationship, we can discount the expected payoff based on risk-neutral probabilities at the risk-free rate. Our final LOS for this topic review is to explain under which circumstances the values of European and American options differ. The only difference between European and American options is that a holder of an American option has the right to exercise prior to expiration, while European options can only be exercised at expiration. The prices of European and American options will be equal unless the right to exercise prior to expiration has positive value. At expiration, both types of options are equivalent, and they will have the same value, the exercise value. Their exercise value at expiration will either be zero if they are at or out of the money, or the amount that they are in the money. For a call option on an asset that has no cash flows during the life of the option, there is no advantage to early exercise. During its life, the market value of a call option will be greater than its exercise value by its time value, so early exercise is not valuable, and we sometimes say that such call options are worth more alive than dead. Because there is no value to early exercise, otherwise identical American and European call options on assets with no cash flows will have the same value. If the asset pays cash flows during the life of a call option, early exercise can be valuable because options are not adjusted for cash flows on the underlying asset. Consider a call option on a stock that will pay a $3 dividend. The stock price is expected to decrease by $3 on the ex-dividend day, which will decrease the value of the call option. So exercising the call option prior to the ex-dividend date may be advantageous, because the stock can be sold at its pre-dividend price or held to receive the dividend. Because early exercise may be valuable for call options on assets with cash flows, the price of American call options on assets with cash flows will be greater than the price of otherwise identical European call options. For put options, cash flows on the underlying do not make early exercise valuable. Actually, a decrease in the price of the underlying asset after cash distributions makes put options more valuable. In the case of a put option that is deep in the money, however, early exercise may be advantageous. Consider the somewhat extreme case of a put option at $20 on a stock that has fallen in value to zero. Exercising the put will result in an immediate payment of $20, the exercise value of the put. With a European put option, the $20 cannot be realized until option expiration, so its value now is only the present value of $20. Given the potential positive value of early exercise for put options, American put options can be priced higher than otherwise identical European put options.